Makeshift Stories presents Way Station.
A place out of time where things are run by steam. Trains are the main means of transportation. And adults don't seem to remember what happened in the past. Sit back, close your eyes, and open your imagination as we listen to the first tale in our new series, Way Station. Makeshift Stories 23, The Europa Cafe.
Tim's back faced the 200-year-old gray stone of Union Station, its stained glass window filling the largest arch under the coppery green dome, had deformed slightly inward over the centuries to form a parabolic surface, which was now reflecting the hazy heat of the midsummer sun onto the center of the street where he stood, profusely sweating. A dense stream of traffic, there for the arrival of the Northern Express, perfumed the air with greasy exhaust. As a light turned in Tim's favor, a straggling taxi sped through the intersection, spewing steam and black smoke in its wake. Tim stepped out onto the tire-worn blacktop, his feet sinking into the hot asphalt that had been softened by the intense summer heat. He hurried across the final few lanes, seeking refuge from the sun under the inviting cool green shade of the ancient elms that lined Broadway Avenue. A city crew was casually watering the distressed trees, which, without continual help, would die back into the desert that obstinately advanced into the city at every opportunity. Circles of green cut into the brown boulevard marked the limits of sprinklers as Tim advanced up the avenue toward the Europa Cafe, where he worked the day shift. Moving in a measured manner to avoid sweating any more, he hurried back to relieve Sarah, Maya's mother, who had come down to the cafe to give him a break. Tim owed the Richardsons a lot. After his parents had been killed in a terrible traffic accident, they had more or less adopted him, giving him a home and a place to work. That entire week was a dark hole in Tim's memory. He could only remember waking up in the apartment above the cafe, Maya's smiling face telling him that he was okay. After the insurance company had refused to pay his medical expenses, claiming that his parents had not added him to their policy, the Richardsons had bid on his debt in a civic auction and now owned his bond. They were good people, and Tim felt lucky. He only needed to work the day shift at the family cafe business until Maya, the Richardson's daughter, finished college.
"Hey, buddy, can you spare me a dime?"
He felt that he had lucked out as he passed several people on the street with outstretched hands, crouching in the shadow of a low stone wall that now surrounded the old railway hotel. It was one of Tim's favorite buildings, built by the ambitions of some bygone era's railway tycoon. The Selkirk looked like an old French chateau in desperate need of a facelift. Half the exterior was now covered with a spidery web of bamboo scaffolding. As the Selkirk goes, so does the city, was a local way station saying, and the hotel had certainly seen a lot of ups and downs, but mostly downs. That saying could have easily been changed to, as a railway goes, so does way station. And railways had been all but rendered obsolete up until fuel shortages made air travel impractical. Add to that the ever-growing might of the new northern cities, way stations' location on the ancient railway network midway between them and the teeming populations of the south who were desperate to migrate, and the fervent activity on the exterior of the old Selkirk made perfect sense. Tim turned at the corner of Broadway and Hargrave and leapt up a short flight of chipped concrete stairs at the front of the old red brick building that housed the cafe. He pulled open the front door, causing a shocking blast of cold air to escape, forcing him to instinctively shiver.
"Close the door, we're not air conditioning the entire city,"
shouted Sarah. Embarrassed, Tim slipped through the entrance, making sure the door latched behind him.
"Oh, hi, Tim. Sorry, I wasn't looking. For a moment, I thought you were one of the old guys who hang out in front of the Selkirk.
Really, Mrs. Richardson, they're harmless. They're just trying to cool off. It's hard on the street this time of year. Plus, on days like this, we're off the power grid. Anyway, there's more than enough solar on the roof to keep the building cool.
Tim exclaimed as he moved through the mostly empty midday cafe. At this time of day, patrons were an endangered species. The few who randomly occupied the empty booths were there escaping the heat with iced tea and coffee, fixated on displays of their digital papers, reading news from the official GlobalNet sites. By and large, they ignored Tim as he hurried over to the coffee bar. Sarah removed her ID card from the till and patted Tim affectionately on the shoulder.
I keep forgetting that, Tim. I should know by now we're only on coal electric at night. I think the heat is getting me down. 30 days without a break. When I was your age, I swear it never got this hot.
Tim shrugged and slotted his card into the cash register. The machine quietly asked him to place a thumb on its bluish screen, scanned it, then welcomed him back. He hated the "when I was young" routine that adults seemed to use because they were mostly wrong. He couldn't understand why they didn't check their facts first on the GlobalNet before they committed to some erroneous comment like, "it's warmer today than it was 5 years ago." Tim remembered his parents complaining about the summers as well, so he had looked it up. The average temperature was the same as 20 years ago. Tim concluded that as you grew older, memory filtered the past, so it always seemed better. Sarah looked at Tim accusingly.
I know what you're thinking, Tim. We've had this discussion before. You've looked at the weather records on the net, and it's just as hot now as 30 years ago.
Sarah paused and looked over to one of the tables by the window. There was a handwritten, out-of-order sign tented in the center. She gestured to it with her eyes.
If it's not too busy this aft, Tim, can you try and fix that table's e-display?
Sure, no problem, Mrs. R. It's probably just some bad...
She quickly cut him off.
You're wasting your explanation on me, Tim.
Sarah smiled, picked up her bag, and started to leave, stopping just before the triple-glazed glass entrance.
Oh, Tim, I almost forgot. The Southern Express is going to be late today. The station's net says around 6 p.m., and it's going to lay over for repairs. There'll be lots of customers tonight. Can you stay to help Maya? You can take a day off next week in exchange, or you can apply it to your employment bond.
Tim nodded his head.
Don't worry, no problem, I can stay on.
Mrs. Richardson braced herself, opened the heavy door, and reluctantly pushed through into the oppressive afternoon sun. Seizing the chance, a gust of hot air charged in, trying to equalize the temperature as the door swung shut with a hiss. In reaction, the air conditioners whined, trying to dissipate the invading warm front. The Europa Cafe was one of many of the local businesses that had sprung up like weeds around Union Station as train traffic had increased. In the ensuing rush for prime locations, Waystation City Council favored the locals, ensuring that their businesses were closest to the terminal. If you wanted an iced coffee from a big chain, passengers were forced to walk an extra block or two, and given the usually hot days, many gave up when they hit the Europa. In addition, the Richardsons had managed to get a GlobalNet access point license, something of a rarity for a small business. So the cafe offered the same services as the big chains. Aside from serving tables, Tim was also responsible for maintaining the access point, the table terminals, confirming that customers had valid registered user access IDs, and assisting them when there were problems. Although Tim had a natural inclination for the work, the Richardsons had paid for Tim's computer training, and had added only half its cost to his work bond. Again, an unusually rare act of kindness, so Tim felt very fortunate as he pulled out his tools and happily went to work on the broken display. Maya hated being late. Since Tim's arrival, they had become best friends, and she didn't like letting him down. She already felt guilty enough. Before the accident that killed Tim's parents, he would have been just like her, going to school and working in the family business. Now, school wasn't an option for him until he worked off the debt bond. Tim had always reassured her, saying the computer training her parents sent him to was good enough, and if he had the opportunity to go back to school, that's what he would take anyway. Still, she felt bad as she rushed past weed-filled parking lots that doggedly clung to both sides of Upper Hargrave Street. The newfound wealth of the station hadn't made it that far yet. By the time she reached the corner opposite the cafe, she was 45 minutes late for her shift. The Europa was already beginning to fill up with customers from the evening express as she pushed open the door. It hadn't cooled down much at the end of the day, so after an hour and a half on an old steam bus that had been stuck in traffic on a shadeless street, Maya felt as wilted as a cut flower out of water. The soothing, cool interior of the Europa helped put her troubled commute behind. She looked pleadingly at Tim, but he didn't seem put out by her tardy arrival. He simply waved, pointing her to a table of new customers that he hadn't had time to get to yet. Maya nodded, dumped her pack behind the bar, then worked her way between an untidy maze of chairs and tables to greet the new arrivals and take their order. The three women stopped their low murmur as Maya approached. They gave her a diminutive icy stare that, combined with her expensive casual designer clothes, said, "We're from someplace important." Maya brushed it off. She was used to it, and immediately dropped her expectations of them to match their attitude toward her. Just like all the others, Maya thought, they're probably on their way south to show off to their less fortunate friends and families. Most of the people in the cafe seemed to fit that mold. Well-dressed, a bit rough around the edges from the lengthy trip, truly glad to trade the constant rocking of the train for firm ground, but not glad enough to drop the attitude. Passengers from northbound trains were an entirely different group. Thrown together by circumstances, those who had lost their smug attitude, happy to be returning home, contractors seeking work, and people forced north for a new start combined to make a much more anxious and difficult crowd. Maya only had to serve Northern Express passengers on weekends. Tim handled them during the week, and they never seemed to be a problem for him. Perhaps, she thought, because his own life, like theirs, was in transit.
"Hi, what can I get for you tonight, ladies?"
"Faster service, for a start,"
the one furthest from Maya whispered to her friend, loud enough for her to hear.
"We'll have 3 lattes with skimmed milk, and we want access to the table's net reader."
The third one, with long red hair, dressed in a black t-shirt and denim shorts, replied.
"No problem. 3 lattes coming up, and I'll need to see your net access IDs to open the terminal." "Here's mine."
The red-haired woman quickly ran her palm over Maya's scanner. Neither of her friends moved.
"Great. I just need to verify your friends' IDs, and I'll get Tim to set you up."
"You don't need theirs. I'm going to be the only one using it."
"Sorry, you know the laws. We can't open a shared terminal with only one ID. However, you can use one of the booths over there."
Maya pointed to a row of metal cubicles with terminal screens that lined the back brick wall. Angry, the three started to pack up their belongings.
"Go ahead. You can try any place you want in Waystation. You'll only pay more for your coffee. The crackdown happened here just like in the north. We're not that far off the beaten track."
Maya turned to go.
"Okay, 3 lattes and I'll use the booth."
The red-haired one spat out in a defeated tone. Maya laughed to herself and slowly took the longest possible route back to the bar to place their orders. They always tried that trick, lost their net access at home for something stupid like visiting a banned site, and thought some backwater access point would be gullible enough to risk their license to let them online. But that wasn't going to happen at the Europa. The rest of the night was busy, and despite Maya's fatigue from waking at 5:30 in the morning to beat the heat and catch the first steam bus for her morning class, the night flew by. At 11, she and Tim closed the cafe, cleaned up, then sat in the comfy lounge chairs near one of the ceiling-to-floor windows to wait for her parents to pick her up. The night security screen automatically slid down, misting the view of the street with its black metal grid. Exhausted, Maya slipped back into the comfy chair.
Good thing your mom asked me to stay tonight. We made enough to meet the cafe's municipal quota for a week. I don't think you could have handled it by yourself.
Want a bet?
Maya teased. Tim knew he could never win this argument, so he changed the subject.
How's school going?
2 more terms. Then I can apply for college. But there's a lot coming up, and it's going to get really intense and competitive. Most of the other kids have managed to get deferrals on their job contracts. I've talked to Mom and Dad about it, but they can't afford to give me one just now. Oh, Tim. I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to keep up.
I can take on more shifts for you. Just let me know.
A car horn impatiently shouted outside.
Thanks for the offer, but you're already taking on way too many extra hours.
Maya gave Tim a quick kiss in the cheek, then rushed out to the safety of her parents' waiting car. She didn't feel it was fair to take Tim up on his offer, but knew eventually she'd have to. Tim turned on the motion detectors and headed up a well-worn set of hardwood stairs to the small bachelor apartment that the Richardsons kindly let him live in above the cafe. The building was not last century, but the century before that, an endangered brick structure from the original Age of Steam. Beyond the extensive remodeling of the ground floor commercial spaces, Tim imagined that the building must pretty much look exactly the way it had the day it opened. The moldings around doors and windows had taken on somewhat organic shapes from 15 decades of repainting, and the building still boasted a steam boiler, complete with ornate iron radiators that stood in the halls in silent vigil, waiting in vain for weather cold enough to be used. The arcane heating system hadn't been turned on since Tim had moved in. Once he had pointed out to Mr. Richardson that its simple existence must be proof of a cooler past, otherwise why would the building's owner have even bothered with the expense of installing something that elaborate only to see it sit idle? The metallic rattling of a window box air conditioner greeted Tim as he pushed open the heavy wood-paneled door to his suite. He walked over to the struggling metal box, ironically mounted in the bay window over top of a disused steam radiator, and turned it down 2 positions. The noise dropped back to a less annoying hum that Tim could ignore. On one side of the bay window was a small green-top chrome kitchen table that served both as a place to eat and his workspace. Its surface was currently hidden by piles of old-style paper books on programming that he had picked up at garage sales, and the exposed parts from one of the older table terminals from the cafe. This is where Tim spent much of his time off maintaining the cafe net and working on his personal projects. The Richardsons had the foresight to buy a net license along with their access point, and now the site's feed was being pulled down onto the big flat information screens lining the arrivals area of Union Station. This was one of the reasons for the cafe's success. They were one of the few local businesses able to advertise side by side with the big chain restaurants in the station. Additionally, Tim had built a system that allowed passengers to reserve tables from the trains before they arrived, so the Richardsons gladly let him use their net hosting license to pursue his interest in ancient network software. Tim had carefully researched the laws governing the global net and found they didn't apply to most of the original, now long obsolete and forgotten protocols that had started the net revolution in the last century. His interest in these systems started by accident when he found a yellowed, crumbling paper book on the original GlobalNet at a garage sale, and now the small table he had found at that sale was covered with the fruits of a year of foraging for more information. Very little of it was available electronically, so most of the original protocols used in the formative years of the net had been forgotten. Tim loved the elegance and simplicity of most of the early systems and had taught himself the programming languages they had been originally created in. His greatest success to date had been the reconstruction of a disused net surface called Gopher. A month ago, Tim had uploaded his Gopher site onto the cafe's server space and had recently built a reader for his mobile phone. Tim walked over to his fridge, which to save space was built into the lower plastic cabinets of the apartment's tiny kitchen, grabbed a chilled bottle of water and sat down at his crowded workspace. He pressed a button on the terminal, cleared an open place, and waited for it to boot up. With his free hand, he gestured a command for it to project a virtual keyboard onto the green Arborite tabletop. He placed the water carefully on the floor, then stroked silently over the glowing keys. A second later, data from his Gopher server began to rain down in front of him. Tim combed through the log row by row. He had lost contact with the server when he was at the station at noon. That had never happened before. An odd entry caught his attention and he froze the data stream. Something was wrong. Just before he had lost the connection, the log showed another person accessing the server.
"That's impossible,"
Tim muttered.
"I have the only reader."
Thanks for listening to Waystation, the Europa Cafe. As we have mentioned before, Makeshift Stories will be expanding a bit over the next few months into 3 series of stories. These will all be posted in our main feed. We'll be continuing on with the other story, a somewhat loosely connected adventure that follows the unwitting crew of the Hypernova. Waystation, for the older members of our audience, where things are powered by steam. And as time permits, we hope to be presenting short 1- and 2-page stories written by us, our friends and listeners, collectively called Somewhere, Sometime. Details will be up on our website in the next few weeks. We hope you enjoyed tonight's story. Please tell your friends about us and send us an email at makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. All sound effects are from soundsnap.com, and the opening theme, If You Lived, by Ben Bay, is PodSafe Music from premiumbeat.com. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative License. So, feel free to pass our stories around, just don't alter them and remember to credit us.